When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen here is Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, you were at Chicago Bears camp today. Looks like you got a little sun.
Yeah.
How was camp?
It was nice. I mean, I've gone to House Hall every year. They've had it at House Hall, and you know, it's always a pretty good crowd, but it was packed today. I mean, it was the bleacher I was in. It was, you know, we were sitting, you know, we were like shoulder to shoulder, and you know, it was standing room only around the edges. So, I mean, there's an excitement obviously in the air. I mean, obviously Caleb's part of it, but you know, plus they're coming off a seven win team. Expectations are pretty high. There's the Hard Knocks buzz going on. So this is a tough ticket to get, so to speak.
Well, yeah, certainly a tough ticket to get. Those tickets were like completely sold out super fast, super early. You and I were both trying to get tickets so that we could send part of our team so that we could do camp reports. We're trying to get you there. I thought maybe I could go. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to go because I'm going to be doing Hall of Fame stuff, leaving tomorrow to start my trek east to try to get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, do the game and do the ceremony and all that stuff. But what that means is we've been giving away a lot of tickets. We've been able to get our guys what they need. And now we had a few left over. We gave a bunch away on Twitter. We wanted to make sure we gave at least one away, and we saved, I think, the best one. We didn't get any of the Friday, Saturday tickets from last week. Those were super hot. Those went out fast, but we actually have one ticket. It is for the joint practice on August 15th. I think this is the best open practice ticket that's available. I got to go to both of the joint practices last year with the Colts in Indianapolis. It was just a ton of fun to see like a different team, because then you're seeing how your guys match up. And it was also really fun to interact with other fans. Now, I don't know how many Bengals fans were able to get tickets. I would imagine that it would be like 95% Bears fans there. When the Colts announced that they would have open sessions for the Bears joint practices, there were plenty of tickets available, and then they all got snapped up by Bears fans. And so when we got there, it was like, I would say it was still like probably 2/3 Colts fans to 1/3 Bears fans, maybe not quite half and half, but it was a pretty good split. But it was really nice to like interact with other fans with like low stakes, right? I mean, it's just practice. Like, yeah, you know, you're not seeing anybody get too upset or anything. And it's just really fun to see another team. You got the Hard Knocks angle that's happening. So we're going to be doing some Hard Knocks stuff, but we got one ticket available. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, send us an email at secondcitygridiron@gmail.com. That's 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com, and say you want the one ticket with your name, and we'll draw a winner tomorrow to do that. And you're going to that practice though, right?
I will. I wasn't planning on it, but I work some stuff around at my real job, and I got that one off. I'll also be there this Sunday, so that should be fun. I got three this year, and you know, maybe another one kind of lucks into me. But yeah, it's speaking of giving away camp tickets, we also had someone give us four tickets. Hey, I can't go. I'm not going to be a jackass and sell these like some of the other idiots out there. Can you please give them away for us? So we give those away. So it's cool that fans are, you know, just if you can't use them here, let's have someone else enjoy the time.
Yeah. I can't imagine the people that thought, I'm going to go sit on this website and I'm going to grab free tickets to training camp, and then I'm going to instantly put them up on Ticketmaster or StubHub or whatever, wherever they put them, to resell them for some sort of value. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. I capitalism and all that kind of stuff, I just think it's kind of crappy. And I think that there's technology out there that you could prevent something like that from happening. But we at least, like, there's a reason for us to try to grab the tickets that we grab, because we're trying to get people lined up so that we can bring you the reports and see what happens. But, you know, no one really knows their schedule until you actually see what the tickets are, right? Like, there's another people like, yeah, I'm interested in tickets. And you're like, hey man, I've got them for Tuesday. And yeah, Tuesday doesn't work for me, right? So it just kind of depends. And then, you know, one person might need two, one person might need four. But it's really worked out, and it seems like people are happy that at least some of the tickets are coming back into circulation and not have to be paid for. So,
well, between Windy City Gridiron and Second City Gridiron, you know, we have like 26 content creators.
We have friends of the pod.
And we're the only two that got them this year. No one else, everyone else got shut out. And we each got four dates, which is, I don't know how the hell we managed that. But yeah, so we like I said, we gave them away to our people, gave them away to people that we're going to have as guests here for us. And then the rest, we gave them away, except for this last one here. So make sure you email us at second2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com. And then on Wednesday, early evening, we are going to do a random number draw, and then we'll email the winner there like that.
Awesome. All right, let's get into camp report. So I want to ask you, before I get to specific players, position groups, you know, what stuck out and everything, I just want to know vibes. Now, you said that it was really busy. We've been middle of week practices. Sometimes those are a little bit down in terms of attendance numbers because people have to take off work. You know, someone like me, I would have to take off multiple days to do the midweek practices. It's a commitment, right? And so generally the middle of the week isn't as populated as, say, the weekends, because, you know, it's weekend, everybody can come out, right? It's hot. Like, I mean, there was a heat warning, at least here there was. So what were the vibes that you felt when you were there, and kind of compare that to the last few years that we've been at camp?
I mean, there's always a buzz with your quarterback, right? So I sent a tweet out when Caleb finally came on the field. There was a murmur. Oh, you know, there's Caleb, right? You know, and then he ran to the sideline for a drink, and the crowd kind of erupted a little bit. And
got to hydrate. You
know, but that kind of happened with Fields. I mean, we're excited for Fields. We're excited for Mitch. We're always excited for our quarterback, right? So he's going to get the buzz. But generally speaking, though, you just feel something. There's something different in the air. You know, like I said, part of it is because this team is – there are expectations here. You know, this is not like a, you know, team that's not very good. I mean, we're expecting, you know, playoffs. A lot of fans are thinking that's a legit thing. Some national pundits having this team going in through the playoffs and making waves. So, you know, you couple that with the Hard Knocks, with the Caleb mania going on here, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's a buzz. You could feel it.
Well, let's start off with Caleb. Let's not mess around here. Let's talk about the main attraction. So, rookie quarterback, they were installing the offense before the draft, right? They were using their pre-draft visits to install the offense. So this is not they're not messing around and saying like, oh, you know, he's got to earn it through camp, and we're going to split reps with the veteran that we brought in to, you know, no. This guy's starting from day one, and so he's getting the first team reps, and he's facing, you know, a defense that have pretty high expectations, and you're learning the offense. There's the install. There's all these new receivers. There's all these new elements. You've got the offensive line. The pads are on, right? Like you're starting to see the pass rush maybe come home a little bit too often if you're hoping for the offense to do well here. So, like, what overall stuck out to you about today's practice for Caleb Williams?
Similar to what I've heard about the other practices up and down. Defense ahead of the offense, which is to be expected, you know, but, you know, it's not like there weren't some wild plays. I mean, he made some passes where you're just like, yeah, that's, you know, you know, an NFL throw when you see it, and it's like, you know, going between two defenders, you know, lofting it over the top, you know, he kind of had it all on display, the deep ball, the touch, you know, he took something off when he had to. You know, there was a drill they were doing. It's just a stupid drill. They were just chucking balls into a basket right in the corner of the end zone. And I didn't catch every pass he made because where we're sitting was kind of hard to see exactly who made every throw. But I want to say almost every pass Caleb threw in the basket or like bounce off the pipe. I mean, he's an accurate passer. And, you know, you see that on display. You know, again, some of the 7-on-7 stuff, you're like, oh, that would have been a sack in real life. Okay, yeah, but they're still kind of go through the what happens when a play breaks down. So the scrambled look comes on. You see him kind of going, moving to his right or his left. still throwing with accuracy on the move. And like, man, we've been talking about it. You know, this guy, please let this be the guy, because, you know, it just seems like it should be that way.
Well, I know that was a big criticism, you know, last year with Justin Fields. You know, we watched a lot of those 7-on-7 drills, and they're, you know, you put a stopwatch on it, and there was a lot of holding the ball. And some of that is maybe okay, right? Where you got to extend the play, nothing's there. You go through a couple of reads and you got to go. You're hoping that those are lower percentage than what we saw in the past. But I think that it's also one of those things where you can't assume a sack either, right? This guy has some escapability. He knows how to climb the pocket. He does know how to extend the play clock a little bit, if you will. And so he is going to make some plays out of structure. That's part of what you purchased with that number one overall pick here, is that he does have that ability. So that stuff is somewhat nice to see happen in practice anyway, some of that creativity that you're probably going to see in a game.
I'm glad you said that. You can't assume the sack. You never hear that when people are tweeting out or making their comments about, oh, that was he held the ball for 4 seconds, it would have been a sack. You can't assume the sack. You couldn't assume with Justin Fields. You sure as hell can't assume with Caleb Williams. You know, we kind of see some of the stuff he does. Like you said, he'll move the pocket. He'll move up in the pocket. You know, he will look for throwing lanes when he can. So, you know, in these 7-on-7 and even the 11-on-11 stuff, you know, some of the stuff is like when the rush is there or the presumed rush is there, he'll roll right or left. Whereas game time, he may squirt up the middle. He may look to take off running. You know, some of these plays where he's kind of scrambling around behind the line of scrimmage to make a play with his arm, in a real game, he may see 15 yards of grass in front of him. He'd just take off and get a first down. So you can't assume the sack. You can't assume it would have been a bad play. Just let things play out, and hopefully as the offseason progresses, he keeps getting better at that.
I will say that, and we won't see this until the regular season progresses, but something I want to talk about with you as we move forward through this rookie's campaign is I want to see actual pocket movement. I mean, you know, as much as the last couple of quarterbacks in Chicago, you know, had some ability to, you know, athletic ability to move, they weren't necessarily negotiating the pocket in a way that a traditional pocket passer would, right? Like Brady was amazing at maneuvering inside of the pocket. He's not a mobile guy, but he could climb the pocket. He had that feel. Breeze was great at that, right? Like those guys that are those traditional pocket passers had that ability. And you see some of that in Caleb's college tape. And so it'll be fascinating to see if that translates quickly, because if that happens, that sort of feel and allow yourself to work yourself through progressions and keep your eyes downfield, that's going to show up and really translate well in the pro level.
I loved all the stuff in the offseason where the big knock on Caleb was, oh, he has to be, he only wins out of structure. Because like, people, what are fans doing? They're watching the highlight reels, right? So what happens, a few guys go out there and say, fine, here are a bunch of plays in structure. And it's just a boring play. It's a boring quick game. It's a quick check down. It's a slant. It's just him in the pocket. But like you said, when you watch him play, he does that where he kind of takes a small shimmy to his left, you know, because he's looking for a better throwing window. But that's not on no one's highlight tape. We're watching the fantastic plays, which are usually out of structure, you know, off-platform throws. The stuff in structure, he can do that too.
Yeah, it's like watching a highlight film of Michael Jordan's dunks and being like, yeah, but can the guy hit a three? Can he hit, like, all I'm seeing is dunks, you know? And it's like, yeah, those are the fun plays. Of course, you're going to watch the big highlights, right? You know, no one put a game film or a highlight film of Devin Hester 15-yard punt returns, right? Those are fantastic and amazing, but you know, they're no one put. It's always just the touchdowns.
Yep.
I wish there was like more of those. I somebody needs to go and make that 10-minute highlight film of Devin Hester. Like 30 minutes. I would watch it. Like make it like the next ones that didn't score, but were still great returns. I would watch those. That would be fantastic. All right. Just an aside, because I've just watched that highlight film like 4 times prepping for the Bronze Bears episode. So let's talk about offensive line. So we had somebody who is missing, who has in his Bears tenure not necessarily liked to show up for practice. So that pushed sort of the, you know, alternate offensive line configuration. So talk about what you saw about who was starting on the offensive line, who was missing, and what you saw out of those guys today.
Yeah. Nate Davis is gone again. I mean, this is now, I don't think he's practiced in a couple of days now. Flus, no one's really saying what it is. It's a strain of some sort. Who knows where it is? He was, when I was there, I didn't see him doing any jogging or anything. So I'm assuming it's lower body strain possibly. I mean, he had a rough first year in Chicago. You know, a lot of it was personal. You know, he had some issues going on off the field, but there were a few nagging injuries. You know, there was an injury in season. You know, we heard rumors of what his time was in Tennessee, where it was similar, where he just isn't a big, you know, OTA volunteer guy, which is fine. A lot of guys in the league just don't do voluntary OTA. That's their right as a player. But when camp comes around, you got to be out there. And if you know, if part of getting these little minor bumps and bruises and strains, some of that comes back on not being in shape. I'm not saying it's everything, but that's part of it. So maybe there's something there. So, I mean, they still say he's a starter when he's ready. But as of today, it's Coleman Shelton at center. Ryan Bates is your right guard. And then the rest, of course, Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright. And I mean, the O-line is behind the D-line. They have been that way since camp has started. We've heard it from all the beat guys. They said the same thing. The defense is way ahead of the offense, and that starts up front. And you know, there's some issues there. You know, they're putting the work in. I think at some point you got to make a call on Nate Davis, right? Like, if this is going to be a lingering thing, you want to have your starting center working with Caleb as much as possible. And if you're not sure about Nate Davis and you got to, well, now he's back in this week. Okay, well, now let's get Ryan Bates back over. You know, if Ryan Bates is really your best center, but he's also your best guard, you know, and if Shelton can only play center, like, what do you do as an offensive line?
Lester, I don't know that we have ever done this, but I'm going to break some news to you.
Uh-oh.
DJ Moore has just reached an agreement on a 4-year, $110 million extension that includes $82.6 million in guarantees. That is according to Adam Schefter. So kudos, hat tip to, in the comments, Keel John, who just pushed that in the comments there. And I looked it up in our little group chat that we're a part of. And yeah, DJ Moore is going to be a Bear for quite a long time. That matches him with Caleb's rookie contract, plus maybe, and Roman Dunze, you know. So the core is intact, man. Like, this, that trio, whatever you get from Keenan Allen, maybe that's a 1-year thing, but that's a gigantic, gigantic extension. King Poles does it again, my friend.
This was expected at some point, right? I mean, you know, sure, he's young enough to get another deal, and he still had 2 years on his deal. So,
yeah, I wonder, does that extend out?
Yeah.
For after that, is it like kind of reshaped? Because he was clearly underpaid, like, yeah, that. I mean, like, he, that was part of the appeal, I think, of getting him. I assume that Poles saw DJ Moore a lot like I saw him, as this premier wide receiver that was maybe hidden in a bad offense with some rough quarterback play. But he would produce. Like, if you watch Panthers games, which I don't know, I've watched Panthers games, he was incredible. And yeah, so I was really excited when the Bears traded for him.
Wait, I thought you hate the Carolina Panthers.
I you know what? For a whole year, I hated them. Well, that was great. But
before that, you were
previous good to that, okay, you know, I sure liked DJ Moore. I liked watching DJ Moore anyway. Yeah. And so part of, I think, what was attractive was he was able to have a cost control contract on a player that he thought really highly of. Moore came in and had such a great first year. Obviously, he's had a good offseason. He's established himself as a leader in this club, you know, in this locker room. So to be able to lock him up, you know, again, a premier wide receiver, you believe that Roma Dunze is going to be that guy. Everything I've seen about Roma Dunze, I'm in. Like, I think he's going to be my favorite player pretty soon. I think I've said that a few times. Like, he just needs to make a few plays and I'll just solidify it. But everything about this guy, I'm really excited about. And you pair him, Adunze, with Moore as that core going forward, whatever Keenan Allen can give you, maybe he wants to stick around, but that's great. Like, that, to be able to secure that for the entirety of Caleb's rookie contract, I think is really important.
I mean, that's a reason, right? Because they got Caleb on the rookie deal. I mean, so if you have a quarterback, yep, that you don't have to pay that, you know, buku bucks to, you can afford to bolster the other guys around you. This is why I never thought that Keenan Allen was a lock sure 1-year guy. I mean, let's let it play out. You know,
yeah,
he may really like playing with Caleb and DJ in Rome. He may like it here. You know, I know he still lives in California, but you know, you never know. And you know, at some point he will be to the point where he's looking to chase a ring. Maybe he looks around and says, this is where I'm going to get my ring.
And he, you know, again, we're talking about this wide receiver trio, you know, opening it up to that. But you think about Keenan Allen stating goals like, this is my path to Hall of Fame, you know, next year, let's keep going. And I've talked to some Hall of Fame people, and you know, not spoiling anything necessarily, but that Bronze Bears episode will talk about potential Bears that may have a chance at the Hall of Fame down the line. We talked a little bit about Keenan Allen. And one of the things that I talked about with these Hall of Fame experts was like, he's got to really stack a few more really good years and really bolster those stats. He really needs to retire kind of behind Larry Fitzgerald as like the number three guy in catches and yards. Like he really has to keep going and accumulate a lot. But one of the things that could really help him is to play for a team that's playing for, you know, playing deep in the postseason, that's maybe able to win a championship. Those guys create those moments in voters' minds. And so if he can be a premier player on a team that's going deep into playoff runs and capturing a championship, that's a really good path to being able to get a bust in Canton as well. So yes, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't want to like sound like we're predicting, you know, the Bears are going to win championships, you know, right away or anything like that. But I think that this is really exciting because it really shows the commitment of and modern thinking. Let's give Ryan Poles credit for some modern thinking, right? It's not like they're putting a bunch of money into, you know, the defense only and kind of saying like, hey, we got this quarterback, and if he's that good, he'll figure it out. Like, you know, whatever he can make up for everything else.
That was the Jay Cutler plan, wasn't it?
Right, exactly. So they're putting, you know, the dollars and the support behind this plan to make Caleb's path as easy and hopefully as successful as possible.
I'm excited. That was great news. I love it.
Yeah, that was fun. Like I said, I don't think I ever got to break news to you.
Look at you.
Yeah. Well, and hat tip to the comment section.
Exactly.
So. All right, so real quick, we'll take a break. On the other side of this, I want to talk about the defense, and then I'm going to get Lester's three Bears from this practice that he went to today. Stick with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Lester, we're back. I said defense, but I got to ask about our punter, the crocodile punter, Torrey Taylor. I already saw a few tweets like booming out. You know, I've seen some tweets from other practices pinning him down. Was there a punting session? How do you look? Anything stick out?
Yeah, I mean, when he was punting in front of us, I was trying to time some of his punts. Yeah, I mean, the one I got for sure was well over 5 seconds, 5.13, I think it was, you know, and it looked like it was going down right towards the end zone. They were punting away from us, so I couldn't actually see where the ball was landing, you know. But yeah, I mean, he's the real deal as far as punters go. I mean, we've heard it all this whole time. And I, just so you know, when I do tweet out these punter things at camp, that's just for you. That's just a serving you up your Iowa Hawkeye punter there, you know. So I made sure I tweeted a couple of things out there. I got a pic of him doing it, and I got the hang time for you.
I love it. I love it. Well, I think that I guess the follow-up to that is, was there actual excitement in the stands for him?
I don't think so. I mean, there was like around us. I mean, yeah, I was with Jacob at the time, and we were kind of talking about Torrey Taylor booming it. We're like, oh, we got to get a hang time. We got to get clock on this, you know? So the few people in our general area. Yeah. But it wasn't like, it was like a designated punting section of the practice. They had stuff going on in the other field. There was stuff going on in front of us. And then when they did shift over to have the punting stuff, I think he only hit two. And then the other ones, he didn't punt them. It would just go into the motions of the blocking for the guys up front, you know? So yeah, it's weird. I'm excited for a punter just like you are. So, you know, Bears fans are, I mean, he's a fourth round pick, you know. It's if he gives you what you hope, that's another King Poles does it again move.
I'm going to dive into some punting stats in August.
And you
I'm going to have something ready for the year so that we can really understand the value of punting. That's my goal. One more stat that I want to really track down there is punting stuff, but it's going to take a little work. So I'm giving myself after the Hall of Fame stuff, I'm going to dive into punting. So, all right, got my punter fix. Let's talk about defense. Basically from what I can tell from, you know, beat reporters that have been there, from everything that I've read, from a lot of the pictures, the defense is ahead of the offense. You already said it in this episode. Yeah. But what kind of sticks out to you? Is it the defensive line really kind of giving it to the offensive line? Is it, you know, the sticky coverage in the secondary or the linebackers flowing to the ball incredibly well? Like, what's, is it all kind of working together? Does it just seem like it's already kind of in midseason form? Sort of what's sticking out to you with
it? It seemed today they were kind of throwing some stuff, some different blitzes. You know, we saw
blitzes. The whole line. Wait. Is he allowed to do that?
I'm not sure if Flus is doing it for him or he's just doing it to kind of give Caleb a look, but
okay. Then
at one point in the session when they were broken out into positional, we had right in front of us was the offensive line and DeAndre Swift, the starting tailback. They were going through blitz scenarios. So they were kind of going through, you know, it was more walkthrough. I mean, they were kind of going almost full speed, but they weren't, and they weren't like actually blocking, but you know, they had the guy match them in front of them. You know, they had the linebacker stack behind them, and then a guy would come, and then you would kind of see the O-line look back and talk to Swift and like, okay, he came around through the C gap, that's your guy. So it was kind of like, you know, they're working on that. And you know, Swift, he's an okay pass blocker. I mean, that's not his forte. I mean, he'll get in your way. He's not as bad as some of the bad out there, but that's not his game. But the fact that he's working on it, the O-line's working on it, was nice to see. But back to the defense. Yeah, I mean, there was some blitzes taking place there. You know, the coverage been pretty sticky. You know, O-line, I think a lot of the issues are right now coming from the pressure they're getting, especially in today's live session and the stuff I heard about in the previous live sessions, is they're just getting pressure a little too quicker than you like, which game time, obviously you're going to have more quick game stuff built in. If you know that's an issue, you'll have some, you know, some outlets, you know, for Caleb to go to. And then again, this is year three of the Eberflus scheme. This is year one install still of the Matt Waldron system. So it's natural the defense ahead, which is normal at this time of year, but even more so now because you've got a very experienced, very good, this is a top 10 defense, you know, and then they should be better this year, you know, going up against an offense that, yeah, it's talented, but, you know, they still got to figure out what they're doing. They still got to get their timing down, and that's coming.
Yeah, really the only new piece that you're going to be talking about is a very experienced veteran in Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
At the safety position. Everybody else is coming back. You know, for the most part, you got the rookie coming off the edge, but they're probably not putting too much on his plate yet, right? They're just probably getting him in there and saying, go nuts, kid.
You know, I will say with Austin Booker, I mean, you see him. I mean, his athleticism and speed, you can tell. When he's in the field, yeah. I mean, he looks like a football player. He's young, you know, but he's pretty fast and he gets in the backfield pretty good. You know, Dexter, a lot of the team stuff was way in the other far end zone. So it's hard to really zero in on what's going on up front, but I did see Dexter and Sweat in the backfield every now and again. So, you know, those two are making a difference. But yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. It's going to be probably up until, you know, maybe hopefully they get it figured out by the end of preseason.
Hopefully they get the offensive line or the defense.
The offensive side set up. Yeah, I know we're talking off defense here, but another thing on defense, Kyler Gordon is still out with whatever injury he has. But I will say, though, the first half hour practice was all like walkthrough install stuff. And he was out there with the first team. He wasn't dressed in pads, but he was out there running around, going through his zone drops, you know, doing what he has to do, lining up where he had to line up. So he was doing enough where he was running. And then after practice, he was working a jugs machine. So whatever injury he has can't be that bad because he's out there doing what he has to do. And then it was undrafted free agent. I'm looking up his name. I don't want to butcher it again.
It was Reddy. I was going to tweet at you and say, like, would you say he was ready to step in and fill the role? But I did not. I pulled
Reddy Stewart. Reddy Stewart. And it's funny because Jacob actually interviewed him for one of his pre-draft articles for us. And I think he did also a film breakdown. And I remember at the time thinking, man, this is a good kid. You got a good head on his shoulders. You know, interesting to see what happens. But undrafted free agent is your now your, you know, today anyway, he was your number two nickel.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, you're starting to see where there's maybe you feel uncomfortable. Another defensive lineman needs to be added to this group somewhere, right? It's either another three technique or another defensive end, edge player. Like, you know, that'll happen, I think, before the season starts or maybe early on in the season if there's a trade that comes up. But I don't think Poles is done. And, you know, maybe we're still somewhat uncomfortable with the interior of the offensive line. You know, you hope that Braxton's injury isn't going to impact his future here and create a need at left tackle. I'm not worried about Darnell Wright. There was some buzz about Darnell Wright getting beat a lot by Montez Sweat. Okay, Darnell Wright's a big guy. It's late July. Like, he'll round into form. It's hot. It's not easy to move around when it's when
and
it's
a Montez Sweat guy is pretty good football player.
He's pretty good football player, yeah. Right? So I'm not worried about Darnell Wright. He's a guy that you're going to anchor that offensive line around. But yeah, maybe there's a piece or two that you feel like you're short, that, you know, a championship caliber team would have that figured out. Championship caliber team would also have depth in case something happens. The Bears are just trying to get that front line figured out, right? And there's a little bit of depth at a couple of the position groups. Like, I think we feel pretty good about, you know, the running back room, for instance. You know, there's a couple of groups that feel pretty good. But championship rosters are deep everywhere because you're going to have guys that are missing games. And right now, sure, it feels a little bit scary that a guy might go down and the backup is really inexperienced, not a lot of pedigree. Those things will work themselves out in future years as you're able to build that depth backup. But right now, it just feels good to have most of the starting roster look pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, that gives you some depth, like you said, at secondary. Is I thought last year's reserve, Greg Stroman at nickel, was played pretty good football when he was called on. Jalen Jones, you know, Josh Blackwell as a reserve defensive backs. This is a pretty deep secondary.
Smith.
Yeah, I mean, maybe at some point when you get closer to the end of the training camp here and you realize what you have to cut down, maybe a team comes calling. Hey, man, you know, can we send you a six-round pick for Greg Stroman Jr.? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, I mean, it's possible. And you have that many players that put pretty good film on tape, and if they all look pretty good in preseason, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone calling for a backup for the Bears.
That's probably the best position group on the team by yeah, far. Yeah. So, all right, I want to ask you, we're going to do our three Bears category, but again, I wasn't at practice. You were. So this is about you. So you get to pick the bear that gets the hot bowl of porridge, guy that kind of stuck out to you as being like, wow, that was a really great practice. Didn't expect that out of him, or just kind of made a great play. Well, and then we'll get the opposite of that. And then we'll get the just right, something you expected. So let's start with the hot.
That's a tough one. Like I said, the defense was so far ahead, but it was a lot of different players, you know. So I mean, I think Montez Sweat, like I said, I did see him in the backfield quite a bit, and you know, this is my first time really seeing him up close and personal. And like I said, he's a good football player. You know, he's beaten your first round draft pick Darnell Wright. You know, he's beaten, you know, Braxton Jones, and so I mean, Sweat. You know, I was excited. There was a few guys I really wanted to see out there. You know, but you know, taking a good look at your Pro Bowl defensive end, you know, that was a good guy to keep an eye on when I could.
Well, we said it when the trade happened. There was a lot of buzz about Montez Sweat and Chase Young being available, and it was like, you want Montez Sweat? he is a better. I don't care about the pedigree, and really the pedigree is there too. Like he just was first a little bit lower of a first round pick, but it was. For reason, you know, not for physical and football reasons. It was just, you know, some other stuff. He's a really good, really good football player. Plenty of talent, plenty of athletic ability, and then he's really made good on all of that, and is going to earn that contract. So flip it around, cold bowl of porridge. Who you handing that one to?
So I'm watching the game, the practice today, and I just didn't see a guy do much. Right, I'm like, okay, whatever. It's a packed offense. That's fine. And then I was talking to a guy who's there every day, one of the reporters that covers the Bears. And he mentioned that it's been a theme. Cole Kmet has not really done much during these camp practices. And, you know, we were at camp last year and Cole Kmet was a focal point, right? I mean, he was catching a lot of balls and, you know, I didn't see him do much today. I mean, look, there's only one football. That's what we've heard when they added all these new players. And maybe that's just a product of this, the scheme. Maybe they're just trying to work through the receivers because, you know, obviously you want to get the ball in their hands better. Komet's going to be more of a check down option anyway. In the offense, more of a, you know, find a hole in the zone guy, you know, and I'm going to come back to you. I mean, I can't see him being your primary read on a lot of plays. So, you know, but, you know, he's coming off a career high. So the fact that he's not able to get too much involved, so something to keep an eye on here going through the rest of camp.
Hey, you see, there's a few people, you know, on Twitter and in the comment section, and there's a few people that are like, Cole, you know, the arrow's pointing up. Cole Komet's going to have, you know, this even better season. And it's like, no, like, I really don't think so. And it's not because of him. He's still the same football player. But there are premier wide receivers in this offense now. And you know, they had one last year with DJ Moore, but now there's three, and it's just the pecking order is just going to gobble up too much of the percentage of the pie here for him to be able to match what he had last year. Caleb Williams would need to have 5,000 yards passing or something like that to even have the fourth option, maybe even fifth option, depending on how much they want to feature Swift out of the backfield. For him to approach the stats that he had last year. So, I mean, if you're thinking like, I got to get Cole Komet on my fantasy team, he's my tight end, I would urge you to look elsewhere if you could and try to get one of the wide receivers on the Bears, because that's where the I think the bullets are going to go here. So,
I mean, considering the position league-wide, I mean, I think Cole Komet still, he'll be fine. You know, the thing with Cole Komet is he could have a statistically worse year this year, but as far as the team goes, he may grade out better.
Right.
You know, I think as a blocker, he's getting better each year as he's been in the pros. You know, he's gotten better there, you know, and then once the offense is going and once we see how teams defend these guys, you know, and like I said, there's three good receivers, you know, you're not going to double, you know, no one's going to care about Cole Komet. If you're a defensive coordinator, I think he'll get his. He may not come close to what he had last year. I think he'll get his, and I think he'll be fine in the blocking game, and I think he's going to be a good football player for the Bears.
Yeah, there's nothing about him not being a good football player if the stats aren't the same or better. Yeah. Like, that's not really – it's certainly not how you judge the tight end position, you know, because it's so multifaceted. So, yeah, that's interesting. That's a good nugget. What do you have for just right?
I'm going to go back to Caleb. You know, because again, he threw some picks today, and of course, you know, with social media, you know, the interception of that he threw, he was going to Cole Komet. Actually, it looked like triple coverage. It was a bad ball. I mean, I don't know why he threw it. I think he's trying to work on something. Obviously, that's what camp's for. You know, he had another pick earlier, and you know, and he's not clean in all these practices, but again, practice—that's what you're doing here. But some of the wow plays, like I said, it's just been fantastic. I mean, you know, the ball comes out of his hand, you just know it, you know. I mean, there was the touchdown he threw at the end of the 2-minute drill period. Beautiful ball to Roma Dunze. He had one to DJ Moore. It was deep on the sideline and 7-on-7, just right on the money, hit him in stride, beat Tyreek Stevenson. You know, there was another one on the other side to Roma in a drill also. You know, he has the ability to put it on a rope when he has to, take something off, put some loft on it. He is who he is at this point, is a rookie quarterback going through his struggles. And you already see it on social media. Oh, he's another interception. You know, you see these guys that are just trying to hype that part of it up. There's a well-known aggregator account out there. You know, they threw out the pick today and everyone's going at him like, what are you doing? You know, it's one play, but they're making it sound like it's what he's been doing this whole time. So Caleb's going to struggle. He's going to be fine. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be the guy.
I mean, if you watch his college tape, he doesn't, he picks his chances. Like he knows when he has to kind of take those chances. Right. Yep. And if he doesn't have to, then he's really good about protecting the ball. Right. And you know, there's plenty of very good quarterbacks that are going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, the example is Rodgers, and I hate to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but you know, Rodgers would throw a lot of picks in practice because he's just trying stuff. He's trying to figure stuff out. And so is that a big deal? Like if he's using it to get better, then no, like I don't, practice can be useful for a lot of reasons that, you know, you don't actually keep the stats from practice. Like those don't count. They're not on the record books. Right. And so I'm not worried about any of that stuff as long as he's showing progression, he's figuring things out, he's, you know, whatever. Oh, he made a bad decision, he threw a bad ball. Okay, well, it may have been predetermined too. Like sometimes there's some of those where it's like, here's where the play's going, we're gonna go there, throw the ball, don't hold on to it for 5 seconds and extend the play, throw the ball, right? Like there's sometimes the defense wins, sometimes the defense calls the right coverage. So you never know without the full information, so we'll see.
You know, real quick, there was a pick he threw a few days ago at practice, and it made the Bears social media. I think it was Tyreek Stevens that kind of jumped it and made the pick, and Caleb talked about it in his presser that's a play he didn't realize he couldn't make at this level. You know,
oh, there you go.
He's kind of learning from it, where he's like, man, I put it low and to the outside where I place only my guy could get it, and he jumped it and he made the pick. So, you know, he said he's learning these things, and that's what he's using practice for.
Right. It's all you can ask. And it's also, and again, those other guys that are making plays, those play for your favorite football team.
They're Bears too. Bears win today. The Bears were the winner. Yeah.
Yeah. Bears got better. That's all you can ask. Any final thoughts about this practice before we close this one out?
Not like I said, it was packed. It was hot. It was fun. You know, it's real. The buzz is there, man. I mean, I'm going to be there Sunday, and if today was wall to wall, I can't imagine Sunday. Sunday's going to be nuts, but you know, it's going to be a good time out there. And you know, this was Jacob's first time out there at camp. First time I actually met Jacob today. I mean, I've known him since he was like 19 writing for the site. Right. And now he's like, 24.
I mean, we had him on a Bears Over Beers episode when he was getting ready to go to college. So yeah. He was 18 and he had already been writing for the site for about a year.
Bears Over Root Beers, that show was at the time.
Yep, Bears Over Root Beers.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
Didn't want to get in trouble with his parents.
No. So that was cool getting a chance to meet Jacob today. And, you know, I bumped into Braggs. Even Braggs is always out there at the stand. So it was cool. It's a nice time. It's always a good time going to camp. I mean, like I said, we're all there cheering on our favorite team, and they're playing offense and defense.
They play. Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get out of here. We'll stick around for a little while.
Hey, you want to plug the contest again one more time for you?
Yep, absolutely. So we'll stick around for a little bit to hang out with the YouTube crowd here. If you ever want to join us during the year, day after the game, we hang out at 6 o'clock Central Time on the YouTube channel and talk about Bears, go through our categories and all that fun stuff. So if you want to make that part of your weekly ritual, we would definitely accept you in the comment section. If you want to go to Bears practice at the joint practice on Thursday, August 15th, we have one ticket remaining. Email us at 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com before midday on Wednesday. And we'll draw from everybody that emails us, and we'll send out that one ticket. We only got one, but
we already got a nice, nice group in the email, man. They're already coming at it. That's good.
That's great. It's going to be this was the ticket that I wanted to use for myself. I already gave out. I gave one to Lester. I gave one to Sam. I gave one to Brendan, who will be on the show that night recapping. I was keeping this one for myself because this is the one I really wanted to go to, but I can't do it. I just other stuff going on that's not going to allow me to go do this. So this is my personal ticket, and I held on to it. You wanted to give it away. Lester wanted to give it away. I don't know, a week ago. And I was like, hold on, maybe something will change. And I was, it's not going to happen. So I'm giving away my ticket. So whoever gets it's going to have some fun. So, all right. Well, that's it for this show. We'll be back with more camp coverage. We'll be back with more Hall of Fame coverage with my Bronze Bears series. And we'll be back with some Hard Knocks coverage. I'm going to do Hard Knocks live streams after every Hard Knocks episode. So plenty of Bears content coming at you in the month of August. We are like fully back into this thing. So look out for that. And until next time, Bear down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.